Yes, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Warm Down. Today joining me is a former Manchester United Academy graduate, Fabian Brandy. Fabian, what's happening, our kid?
What's happening, man? You okay?
I'm all right. Weather's treating us well, even though it's the weirdest of times.
Hello, yes. To be fair, it'll probably be raining tomorrow. You know what the weather's like. You can't predict it, can you?
Nah, and I think during the letters out, it's going to rain for 2 weeks. Straight, they'd be like, you knobheads, you've all been in your garden for ages. You can have a bit of rain for a bit now, I think. Right, for those who don't know, Fabian did come through to Manchester United Academy. He moved on. Was you a teenager when you moved on?
No, I was 21, going on to 22, I think.
All right, okay. I thought it was like 19, 20. Okay. Since then, has played all over the place, including Drawsden. Had a bit of a stint in Greece, which I think we're definitely going to be talking about. played with and for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the reserve, so we are going to touch on that. And has possibly got a word of advice, I think, for Angel Gomez. Shall we start on that? I think that's quite pertinent at the moment. Angel's possibly in a similar scenario to yourself as he was coming through, yeah. In more ways than one, and I'll prompt you for the second bit if you don't bring it up. You made a decision to move on and try and get first team football.
Yeah.
What do you think Angel should be doing now?
I think Angel's, obviously everyone knows he's talented, you know, In my opinion, you know, with the right guidance, you know, he can go on to be, you know, a special player. I think, you know, the advice that I can give to any footballer is, well, any young footballer should I say, is like you do need game time, like senior game time, because, you know, reserve team football is totally different from, like, you know, men's football, like, you know, league football, because there's more at stake. I think the earlier and the sooner you learn that, you know, the better it will be for your development.
Do you think there's a lot of players like the sort of safety net of being at a big club, like a big famous club like United or Liverpool or Chelsea, Arsenal, for as long as possible rather than making that jump into playing league football? Is there a status attached to being seen as a United player rather than, I don't know, playing for anywhere else, Joe Gillingham or someone like that?
Like I said, there are some players, you know, who stay at big clubs just, you know, because it is a big club, which can sometimes, you know, be a mistake and, you know, hinder your career if you stay at a big club for an extra 2 to 3 years. You know, sometimes, you know, it's good to try and get out of a club, you know, early on, so that you can, you know, move to either, you know, a lesser team or a team where, you know, you're going to be playing to obviously develop your career. You don't really want to get caught up in, you know, just staying at a club just because, you know, it's got a big name, because, you know, it's not going to help your career.
If Angel was to stick around, and it sounds like there's a chance of that kicking around in there now in the news. How do you think he gets game time next season, with the likes of Bruno and probably Pogba still at the club, or do you think he's probably going to need a loan somewhere?
Like I said, with Angel, you know, everyone can see, you know, he's talented. Obviously, the, you know, the players in front of him, you know, like Pogba and, you know, Bruno, it will be hard for Angel just to, you know, get into the team literally overnight. But I think, you know, if he does keep plugging away and keep working hard and, you know, keep putting in good performances, you know, at reserve level, and, you know, when he's training with the first team, Ollie will drip feed him in, and then, you know, it's down to Angel to, obviously, to, you know, when he gets his chance to take it.
Yeah, we've seen with Ollie, hasn't he, that he is seemingly willing to give youngsters a go. I mean, I think United are set the record this season for the youngest team in the Premier League. Why do you think Angel's chances have been limited this season? Or do you think that it's been warranted on form, maybe?
No, I literally just think, you know, he's from the players that are in front of him, really. And the kind of the situation that, you know, Man United have been in. Like I said, you know, before obviously Bruno come in, I think you had, like, you know, Jesse, you know, Pogba, Martial, Rashford, you know, all attacking players that are obviously, you know, in front of Angel. And I think, you know, it'd be a bit difficult to kind of, you know, put Angel in like that situation considering, you know, United are trying to get to, you know, trying to get to top four so they can like kind of rebuild. So I think it's one of those ones where he's talented, you know, and he's more than capable of, you know, performing on the big stage. But then it's one of those ones where sometimes you've got to, you can't just, you know, throw a young player in into kind of those situations, because you don't know how it's going to go, and you don't want to, like, you know, ruin the confidence or anything like that. But like I said, I think with Ollie, you know, he will drip feed Angel in, and, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later, you know, he'll start getting a little bit more game time to show, you know, everyone what he's capable of doing.
He was at United during the changeover period of Solskjaer going from being a player into him being a coach. Talk to us about that a little bit. Was there anything that he was doing that you thought, might be something in being a coach here, or was you just too focused on what you was doing yourself in your own career?
Well, you get it with all players, you know, you get the personality, whether it's on the pitch or in the change room and things like that. And obviously when I was playing sort of reserve team football, and just say if Ollie would come down from the first team to, you know, play a few games, you could see like he was always teaching us, he was always, you know, telling us, you know, what to do, or, you know, giving us advice, whether that be in the changing room just before the game, or, you know, when we're about to go on the pitch. So you could always see, you know, we had you know, those coaching traits to him. And then when he got the reserve team manager job, obviously he managed me when I was a reserve team player, and you could see that, you know, he knows how to, you know, get the best out of players. Because like you say, I think now in the football industry, you can't treat all players the same, because obviously everyone's different. You know, everyone's got a different personality. One player might need a bollocking, the next one might need an arm around them. And Ollie's he's got those traits to do that with different types of players.
Does he have the edge to deliver a proper bollocking? Because everyone seems to think of him as being a proper nice guy.
No, if Ollie sees something wrong, he'll tell you. Like, you know, don't get it twisted with the baby face like situation and all. Like, if Ollie sees something wrong, he will tell you, and players will listen. Because he's respected, you know, both as a nice person, but then when he has to be nasty as well, he's respected in that way. So, you know, if, like I said, if he can see something wrong, he'll 100% tell you.
Do you ever see him flash when you was there?
Say again, sorry?
Do you ever see him flash on someone when you was there?
Flash? I think he flashed on me, actually. I think it was a reserve game, and I didn't track back. I think we were 1-0 up, and I didn't track back, or I was jogging back, and he was just like, "Fabs, get back!" And literally, just like a rocket on my ass, and I just did a sprint back. But from him saying that, if I'm looking back at the game now, they were like in a crossing situation, and if that player would have picked out the cross, then 9 times out of 10, you know, they would have scored the equalising goal in the last minute. But I managed to get back just from hearing Ollie's like bollocking and blocked the cross, and then obviously, you know, it prevented a goal. So just little things like that, you know, that some coaches see and some coaches don't. Obviously, Ollie, you can see things like that.
What was he like tactically? Because I know reserve football is generally not known for, you know, super in-depth tactical profiles in games. Yeah. It's obviously more about development and focus on your own team rather than what the opposition are about to do. But did you get the sense that he had a lot going on upstairs in terms of tactics? Did he ever really get a chance to demonstrate that?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, when we played games, like when it's, let's say Liverpool, for example, if we're playing Liverpool and, you know, Ollie knows that they've got some, you know, fast attacking wingers, or they've got a creative number 10 or a deep playing number 6, he'll identify that, you know, with the, obviously the starting 11 who he's picked. So he would say things like, you know, don't let the number 6, you know, get on the ball, because he'll dictate play. And then we know sometimes, you know, if we've not done it straight away, and then number 6 is dictating play, you know, Ollie will, whoever's man that's supposed to be, Ollie will say, why are you letting him, you know, dictate passes? You know, you can see that he's running the game. And then the player who Ollie's told to go onto the number 6, that player will obviously stop him from, you know, playmaking, and then the whole dynamics of the game will change. So obviously, Ole can he can see things like that, and like I said, you know, I you know witnessed it when you know, the manager.
I'm going to jump back a bit because I forgot to mention earlier when we were talking about Angel.
Yeah.
Obviously, the interest from Barcelona has been quite widely publicised of late. But you had Barcelona come in for yourself as well, didn't you, when you was it 13, 14?
I think, yeah, when I was like 14, 15, I had some interest from Barcelona. I think we had a tournament, I think it was a five-a-side tournament in Barcelona where, you know, the big guns were playing, like, you know, youth, Real Madrid, youth, Ajax, PSG. Obviously Barcelona themselves, and obviously I think we might have been the only English team there. But like we didn't qualify from the group stage, but I think I got 5 goals in the group stage and I ended up getting player of the tournament. I mean, even though we didn't qualify. And then yeah, then obviously the interest from Barcelona come. A bit of a weird way to come over because I was like, I come back home 2 weeks after the tournament, and then my house phone rang, and obviously my mum picked up the house phone, and obviously my mum, she don't really like whatever with football. I don't think she comes to watch me a game because she don't like when I get kicked. But like, she picked up the house phone, and obviously I think the guy must have said, you know, is this Randy's residence? Up to this day, I still don't know how we got the house phone number. Anyway, my mum gave the phone to my dad, and then you know, my dad was like speaking to the guy, and then the guy was like, oh, you know, we were interested in your son, blah 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 blah. And then my dad just said, you know what, we'll think about it, and then obviously asked me how we thought about it. And it was at a time where Man United were, like, you know, surpassing Barcelona on a level, so it wouldn't have made sense for me to even consider going to Spain or anything like that, because obviously my Manchester lad myself, you know, so it just made sense just to stay with Manchester.
Do you ever think back on that now and go, shit, I could have just spent the last 10 years playing with Messi?
Don't get me wrong, you know, there are some times where I do think, you know, how could my career have, you know, been a little bit different if I went, you know, to play in Spain? Because I think it must have been the time where Pep Guardiola was, you know, in charge of Barcelona. So obviously, you know, the tiki-taka stuff and things like that, and you know, that type of football, you know, does suit my gameplay. So I don't know, my career might have been different. You know, it might have been not. But it's one of those, I don't regret it at all, because if I, you know, being at Man United was just the best time of my career. You know, I was there for 14 years, and you know, I learned a lot, not just as a footballer, but as a person as well.
I think I played rugby. I played Super League as I was coming up. I finished at 21. I had sort of the opposite thing. I was going to one club. I was going to Lee. And I'm a Salford fan. And Salford came in for us after I'd already kind of committed to Lee. And I managed to get out of it. And then I spent 3 years at Salford following that. But it was one of them, like, I wonder, would it have been better maybe to go to Lee and maybe do something there? And I think you never know, do you? Sometimes you can go there and it could have worked out different. It could have worked out better, or you could have gone there and your face might not have fit. But like, you know, your style of play, I mean, you know, perhaps it wasn't suited to the lower leagues of English football. Maybe it was more suited to Spanish football. Yeah. Let's talk about Greece. What happened in Greece?
Wow. Trying to think when. Well, to be fair, I don't even know what year it was. Long story short, I was a free agent at the time, and this Greek agent, obviously I'm not gonna name him, but like, you know, he contacted me. He was like, you know, I've seen your career. I can see what you like as a footballer. Do you fancy coming over to Greece? And it was at a time where I had interest from clubs, but no one was really proper biting, you know. So they were like, you know what, you can come over to Greece. You can get, the club's gonna, you know, get you an apartment. You know, you're gonna get a car. You obviously gonna get a contract. So I was like, to be fair, I didn't even really ask for that. I just wanted to play football. So anyway, flew over to Greece, and one of my friends, he was already out there actually. So then I ended up staying with him. But then obviously the I stayed in stayed with him for about a week, but then the club were like, you know, we're going to get you your own place, because it was a one bed apartment. So I was obviously just like, you know, staying on his sofa whilst, well, like a sofa bed. But to be fair, it was far from comfortable. So I was staying on that, waking up in the morning, like, you know, with a bit of like stiffness, whatever.
Yeah, that's ideal preparation for an athlete.
That's what I mean. And I thought to, because I was going in training and I weren't feeling, you know, 100%, just because of the fact that, you know, I was there. So then I said to the manager, or like the guy who translates for the manager, like, you know, I need this situation kind of, you know, sorting out. Even if they just bring in a bed or something that I'm going to be comfortable on, you know what I mean? Because I'm not a fussy person, you know what I mean? I'll sleep on a blow up bed on the floor if it's comfortable. Like, I'm not bothered. But like, it was just a sofa and it was just proper. It was just weren't comfortable. So anyway, I was like, can you, you know, tell me if I'm going to get a place, or if, and they were just like, yeah, we'll start out a week after. And then a week after coming, I think we had Xanta Skoda in like the UEFA Cup, or not UEFA Cup. Like, it was like a cup game, a European Cup game, I think it was. Like a group stage. You know, when you have to play group stages to get through and things like that. So then that game got cancelled. And then they were like, oh, after the next game, you know, we're going to get it sorted out. And then for some other reason, that game got cancelled. Then they were like, oh, after that game. And I thought, wait, hang on. You're saying after this game, you're saying every week. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I said, I'm just going to have to terminate, you know what I mean, terminate my contract. Because it was at a time as well where players weren't getting paid as well. So I was just like, it's a bit carnage. Anyway, I said to the club, right, you know, for both parties, it's best just, you know, just terminate my contract, and then, you know, I'll go back to the UK and you guys can just, you know, we'll just go separate ways. I'm amicably. Anyway, I signed them the paper. No, I was looking at the paperwork and it was all in Greek, and I thought, there's no way I'm signing this paper. It's all in Greek. So anyway, I thought to myself, right, you know, I know one of my friends back in the UK, you know, he was Greek, so then I said, you mate, can you just basically translate that? So FaceTime was like, translate that for me. And he obviously read everything like in the contract. And in the contract, it was, this is how clever they were. They didn't put it in numbers, they put it in writing. And it said, I think it said something like, whatever club that I signed to after I've signed this paper, the club had to pay, I think it was like 135, I think it was like euros or whatever it was. And I was like, wow, just imagine if I would have literally just said, you know what, boom, sign that. And then here's me trying to sign for like a lower league club back in the UK. You know, they're not going to pay that. So I'm just like, you need to get that taken out. So then they ended up getting it taken out and then just parted ways.
Fucking hell. You see, it happens a few times, doesn't it? Did you see the lad that plays up front for FC United at the minute? Is it Tunde Olawabi? He went to Malta. And sounds like he got had off in a similar way and came back and ended up at FC, which has worked out really well for them. I think he scored like 40 fucking goals last year, smashed it, or this season even. I guess it's not even technically finished, has it? How did you end up at Drawsden then?
It was kind of a time where the Drawsden situation fits in with my app scouted, because like I said, I was trying to get scouted off the floor running. So that kind of needed my time and effort. So obviously I thought, you know what, let me work on, you know, my app scouting, going to meetings, doing, you know, articles with like, you know, the big newspapers and things like that. But then I kind of want to get back into football. So kind of Drawsden was a way where, you know, to kind of get my fitness, you know, back up to scratch. Yeah, so that's how it come around. I just literally, I went there for like, obviously to help the team and obviously for some game time as well. So yeah, I was only there for like a short period of time.
Yeah, fucking hell, Drawsden. I know at one time they had just a lot of Scousers playing for them. I'm not sure how or why that came about, but I know that was a thing for a little bit. So talk to us about Scouted then. So you started Scouted. It's an online app with, obviously all apps are online. It's an app that's it seems like it's all about video, people uploading videos of themselves, scoring goals, taking people on, tackling, highlights, all that sort of stuff. How does it work?
Yeah. Yeah, literally, it's just you know, it's an app for, you know, aspiring aspiring footballers, or, you know, footballers who want to get seen by other football clubs who have not really, you know, got the connections to get in the football industry. So, for example, when I was growing up at Man United, I was obviously fortunate to be there for, like, you know, 14 years, but then I was seeing players getting released, like, you know, each year, but they weren't really connected to, you know, contact. You know, like other clubs, like, they might have not had the ability to, you know, play for Man United, but they might have had the, well, they had the ability to go and play at a lesser club. But the mum or the dad or whoever, you know, was looking after them, they didn't really have the connections to contact, you know, an agent or say, can you help me out with things like that? So obviously, as the years have gone on, that's where I thought to myself, well, holding the last, like, 2, 3 years, I thought, you know what, I need to bridge this gap, if that makes sense. So the if scouted was there back then, obviously, and for the players now, all they have to do is kind of, you know, upload their videos, and then, you know, professional football teams or teams all over the world can, you know, search these players in a criteria. So it's like the players putting themselves in the shop market, really, where, you know, if they've not got the connections and things like that, and who knows, you know, there might be a talented, you know, let's just say 16-year-old who just plays Sunday League, doesn't have any intentions of, you know, trying to play for the best team in the world, but then all a scout or football team or a football club has to do is, you know, type his on the criteria bar, type literally a left winger, 16-year-old from Manchester, and just say he comes up. They can look at his videos, and then you never know, a Premier League academy might say, you know what, we'll invite you in and have a look here. It's kind of just to give players from all levels and ages a fair crack at the whip, just to, you know, get involved in the football, the professional football injury, should I say.
Well, there's been I think was it the last World Cup squad? I think it was everyone apart from Rashford and Sterling had some point either on loan or they'd started their career in the lower leagues outside of the Premier League, hadn't they?
That's what I mean. To be fair, since I've, like, launched the app, it's made me realize how many talented footballers are out there that, you know, slip through the net. Like, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, I think when we launched it in, sorry, 2 months before we launched it from last year, November, we were getting emails from, you know, players, because obviously we didn't have an actual app yet. So then we're getting emails, and I was looking at these videos from, like, players from all levels, all ages. And I was thinking, how have you not got a club? You know, have you not got a club? Have you not got a club? And I was just like, you know, this is gonna it's gonna be better. It's gonna be very beneficial to the football world.
So every level can go and look on there. So for us, for Paddock FC, we could go and look and we could say, do you know what? A few lads there, we can go and search people who's in Manchester and then we can contact them through the app as well.
Yeah, literally like that. Obviously, scouts, you know, have to contact the player, you have to be kind of a verified scout. So that would just kind of mean, you know, you upload some documents of yourself, you know, to prove that, you know, you're a scout, because, you know, we want to be making sure everyone's safe on the flip side as well. But yeah, you can, you know, you can literally search for players, and you'll be able to see if they're a free agent, or, you know, if they've just left the club. And, you know, if you like the look of an 18-year-old attacking midfielder, contact him and say, you know, do you fancy, you know, coming to play for us. And you never know, like, you could come and do your team wonders.
Have you had anyone taken into any academies yet on trial?
Yeah, we've had, I think from last year, we've created globally about 150 to 200 players go on trial to teams on all levels. So it has been, and it's not just like one team. Like, one team might have taken in, you know, 5 players, and another team might have taken in, you know, 6 and things like that. But yeah, that's since last year. There's some Premier League teams actually that have had taken in, you know, some players on trial as well. So it's you know, you could the concept's there, the concept's working. Like I said, we're at early doors, and, you know, there's a lot. We've got a long way to go to get to where we actually want to be. But, you know, the concept and the basics of the app are, you know, are working.
Buzzing. Right, I'll throw a link to that in the description. Like I said to you before we started, like I downloaded it a few weeks ago. I've not really had much of a play with it on there, but yeah, I'll check it out. I'm
Well,
sure
it's thingy as well.
it's in it.
Not just for players and scouts as well. If you're a football fan and you generally just want to, you know, have a look at Undiscovered Talent. You can sign up as a obviously it's a free sign up. You can sign up as a football fan and just have a look to see what's going on with like Undiscovered Talent and things like that.
So yeah, check it out. Come and see what's available. I will stick a link in the description. Go and check it out. But Fabian, cheers for joining us, mate. Nice to hear off you. And hopefully we'll get you down. And when we start Paddock up again, and we'll see what's cracking.
Yeah, we'll get a friendly arranged with Scouted FC as well.
Buzzing. All right, cheers, mate.
All right, Stephen. Appreciate that, man.